Welcome back in to Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood, joined as always by my good buddy Jake Thomas. As spring football is back, so is Tide Talk. Excited to be here today, Jake. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, Stacy. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to do something. Glad to be back. Had some family stuff take hold. Thank you, as Stacy mentioned a few days ago on Twitter. Ask whatever about it. So thank you for your prayers. But yeah, I'm glad to be back, Stacy. It's spring football's here, man. I'm excited.
Man, I'm so excited. We get to see some actual football content with Kalen DeBoer on the practice field with Alabama. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're just going to kind of preview that in the spring and talk a little bit about some of the high notes from day one, which was on Monday. We're recording this on Tuesday night. You'll be watching this on Wednesday. So they'll be practicing again on Wednesday as well. So just a lot to look forward to, a lot to be excited about. And I can't wait to kind of discuss all the details here in just a few minutes. But as always, please do subscribe to the channel here on YouTube. Hit that bell notification so you don't miss any of our content that we upload here on the channel. Also free and available wherever you find your podcast on the Believe Network. And while you're here on YouTube, make sure you jump in the comment section and give us your thoughts on maybe what you're looking for this spring, what questions you want answered most, or just what you're most excited about as the Alabama football team begins spring practice here in 2024. But as we kind of segue into spring football talk, Jake, and you know, obviously Kalen DeBoer is now taking over for Nick Saban as the head coach, so that's obviously going to be different. There's a new voice of Alabama football now, so it's just there's a lot that's different now in terms of the football program in Tuscaloosa, and just because it's different doesn't mean it's going to be bad. So really looking forward to kind of seeing how Coach DeBoer handles spring practice and how he handles really even A-Day, if you want to look ahead that far as well, and how he kind of aligns the teams there on that day. But we'll talk about that as we get closer to April 13th. But just as spring practice gets underway, Jake, they practice one day. One of the comments that Coach DeBoer had in his post-game press conference, of course, you know, he's going to be asked about the quarterbacks. Right. And, you know, he kind of gave an answer that was completely opposite of what probably Coach Saban would have answered. But DeBoer, you know, pretty much said that, you know, somebody had to take the first team reps, and that somebody was Jalen Milroe. Are you surprised by that, Jake?
Oh, no. I mean, it's obvious. He was a starter all year last year. He did well for us at times, and we know what his issues are that he's got to get worked out on. So he's got to work those issues out because Ty Simpson's more than capable of being leading this team. Austin Matt's more than capable of leading this team. Dylan Onigan is more than capable of leading this team. So it all rests on the ability of Milroe to make that next step. And there's a video that came out with him the other day about he's got a new throwing motion. His release is a little bit quicker. So hopefully that'll help him in short intermediate passes. So, you know, with Milroe, we all love Milroe, but it's all right here. He's got to get in his mind that he's going to be that quarterback, you know, for Alabama if Alabama is going to get to where they want to go, and that's the national championship.
Right. Well, and it's important to remember, you can't have any type of, especially in football, most of the time in practice, you have a first team, a second team, and a third team. And more times than not, all those guys work together because they have to build chemistry. Right. So you can't just throw four guys out there with the first team offensive quarterback and expect to build any chemistry here in the spring. I mean, you're already limited on the amount of practices that you have. So somebody has to be that guy to begin with. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, by the time spring is completed, that somebody else, you know, hadn't overtaken Milroe or anybody else that took first team reps yesterday. So it's way too early in the process. I wouldn't even read anything into it, but I'm with you, Jake. I think with Milroe being the starter last year, he played well enough to earn the right to be the guy, the number one guy heading into the spring. So no surprise there. And I thought DeBoer, I think what I like most about DeBoer in terms of how he gives his press conferences is that he doesn't seem like he cares to just tell the truth. Like, he's not going to hold anything back. He's not going to try to keep everything so secretive like Saban did. Not that, you know, and look, we have a saying here in the South, there's more than one way to skin a cat. The way Saban done it worked. It worked great. But just because DeBoer is a little more open with the media specifically doesn't mean it's a bad thing. So just keep that in mind. I thought it was really interesting, the comments DeBoer made. He seemed like there was good energy for the first practice. You know, they have music now at practice.
Right.
Something that obviously was never done under Coach Saban. So that's something new and exciting for these players. And, you know, I just like what I'm seeing so far. I'm excited about not only the things that he's kept the same, because there is some things that you need, like the fourth quarter program. He mentioned he didn't change that up. Why would you? That has been effective for 17 years. Mm-hmm. But the other little nuances that he's kind of put in, I think that's good. They're, not all change is bad is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. I think, you know, the music, it's a different touch than some of the players have had in years past. You know, and he is his program, but he's still intimate, you know, intimate and a little bit of Saban-esque in there. But overall, Kalen DeBoer is saying, this is my team and this is how we're going to do things. I want Saban to have an influence as well, and I'm going to take heed of what he says and still do a few things that he did the past 17 years. But overall, this is my team. This is how we're going to do things. And I appreciate that, because this is what a new regime is supposed to do. You can't keep doing what the past coach did, because it's not going to be successful. You got to do what you want to do and implement what you want to do. And that's what Kalen DeBoer has done.
Yeah, you got to be who you are. And so far it feels like DeBoer is very comfortable with who he is as a coach and his process of building a program. And I have confidence in him because, you know, he says it often, you know, winners win because that's what winners do. And, you know, he's won everywhere where he's been. So I'm confident that he has the right type of process to be successful here in Tuscaloosa. We know right now he has the dudes there on campus. So certainly excited about the way he is, like you said, put his own personal stamp on the program, along with keeping some of those key core components for what Nick Saban built this dynasty on. So just really excited about seeing, you know, how Coach DeBoer continues to put his stamp on the program.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Stacey. It's exciting times, you know, so just stay with him. You know, he's going to do great things in Tuscaloosa. I just have no doubt about it.
Yeah, and another thing, Jake, that was mentioned in his press conference that, you know, I think the announcement of the rule change, you know, came a couple of days ago, but there is going to be some helmet communications now, Jake, with the coaches and the quarterback or whoever it may be. So, first, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's a good thing for college football?
Yeah, you know, I feel like, especially if you have a young quarterback, not outside of Alabama, but any other team per se. Say you have a true freshman quarterback starting the game, and you see something when he's getting his pre-snap, you know, routine going. You got that helmet communication. Say, hey, you've got a weak side linebacker facing come on a blitz or whatever. You got nobody out there to you know, for protection. Slide your protection over, or you may have an open spot over there. Check down the wide receiver to do like a little hitch or something. So you've got that opportunity per se. Overall, I think it's going to be good. It may be a little flaw to begin with, but everything takes time to get the kinks worked out. But I think overall it's going to be nice.
Yeah, I think I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think the communications will be cut off at around 13 seconds with remaining on the play clock. So it is going to be something new for these players to try to learn and kind of – especially, you know, I'm glad they get to do it in the spring too, Jake, because it just gives them a little bit more time before fall camp gets started. Because if you rolled this out during fall camp, Jake, it would almost be a nightmare for these players still trying to learn this process of getting plays in and then the communications being cut off. So I think it's a good thing. I think the NFL's done it for years. I think for whatever reason, college football was a little bit behind on that. But I think it's something that needed to happen, and I'm excited to see how it kind of affects games, especially You think about, you know, the whole sign stealing thing for Michigan. It's going to be a lot harder to steal signs when you're just calling the play into your quarterback, and he's telling the guys on the field what to do. So that's just something small to think about as well. But Coach DeBoer talked about that, and mostly he just talked about, you know, how they're just trying to get used to it, and you know, they don't have the supply and demand is so wide right now across the country that they didn't even have enough for all the quarterbacks. So it's just a couple quarterbacks that have it right now, and it's just going to take some getting used to. But I am excited about the coaches being able to communicate with the quarterback as far as getting the play in, and like you mentioned, having that time up to about 13 seconds remaining on the play clock to be with that young quarterback and say, hey, keep an eye out for this. Hey, keep an eye out for that. Mm-hmm. It's just going to improve your quarterback play, especially pre-snap. So looking forward to seeing what kind of positive impact it can have on these younger players. So looking forward to seeing how that plays out. We'll get to see that firsthand this spring, Jake, during the A-Day game. So it'll kind of be kind of the first time that a lot of these programs will be rolling that out. So something to look forward to on A-Day that'll be different than what we've ever seen before.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And like you said, if they do cut it off about 13 seconds, most everybody now lines up as soon as nobody really huddles anymore. So you get that play in real quick. You're still going to have roughly around about 10 seconds to talk with your quarterback, look at the field. So I don't think that's going to be much of an issue there.
See, I'm wondering if more teams would go back to a more huddle-based offense.
Could be
because of the communications. You ain't got to worry about you get in there in the huddle with your quarterback, and because if you got the quarterback telling the play, you don't need guys on the sideline, you know, doing all them crazy hand gestures. So I don't know that I think that's another aspect of this that I don't think a lot of people have thought about yet is, will it affect no huddle teams? Are they going to continue to go no huddle? And, you know, what would that verbiage look like from the quarterback? You know, when he gets to play in, what's he calling out to the guys on the field instead of them looking, you know, over the sideline like meerkats to see, you know, what the sign is coming in. So that is an interesting part to kind of look forward to and see, you know, how different programs adjust to this new element in the game.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Stacey.
All right, Jake, as we kind of look ahead to spring, because it's just they've had one practice. They'll practice again as you're watching this on Wednesday. So there's not a ton out there right now. We'll learn more as the weeks go on. I think they're off actually next week for spring break, if I'm not mistaken. It's coming. Spring break will be in there sometime. But I guess what are some of the biggest questions that you have for this team this spring? And on that, what are some questions you hope to have answered by the conclusion of spring?
Of course, number one is who's going to be the quarterback. You know, I feel like spring is a good time to separate yourself from that room. You'll still have a tough fall camp, but I really want to see somebody take that next step at quarterback, whether it be a Jalen Milroe or a Ty Simpson. Because this offense is set up for the quarterback to have a ton of success. So, and the offense as a whole to have a ton of success, you've got to have that leader at quarterback to make that happen. You know, one of the questions will be, you know, how are we going to keep the quarterback upright? That's another big question. We've got two tackles we've got to replace. Interior offensive linemen are great. I'm not really worried about that. It's just, who's going to be that left tackle for the blind side? Who's going to be the right tackle? Hope we get that kind of situated as well.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I'm looking at that offensive line because those two tackle spots, the fact that there's really nobody that you could say, yeah, I'm certain that guy can be my left tackle or that guy can be my right tackle. We don't know that, Jake. I mean, there's a lot of question marks there. It could be, you know, Will Conformby. It could be Elijah Pritchett. It could be the kid from Texas A&M. It could be Miles McVay. Could they even look at Casey Poe, the true freshman, at a tackle spot? So there's just a lot of unknown at the tackle position. So that's number one for me. But then I go to the other side of the football, Jake, and I look at the back end of that defense, Jake, and with all that Alabama lost, I mean, Kool-Aid, Tarion, Caleb Downs is gone. Jalen Key is gone. Several other backup players and depth guys transferred out. So just there is a lot of question marks in the back end of that defense. Of course, you bring in a couple of key transfer additions in Damani Jackson and Keon Sab. And I think those two guys that you can probably pencil those guys in as starters. So I just look at that secondary, Jake, and what it might look like, because you know it's going to be a little different. The positions are called a little different here in this 4-2-5 defense that Kane Womack runs. So I think at corner though, Jake, you're probably going to have Damani at one, and probably Jaleel Hurley maybe at the other side, maybe a Zabian Brown. Any of those true freshmen have a chance to come in and compete for a starting corner spot, I think, opposite of Damani Jackson. So that's something to look at. I think you could see, Malachi Moore, Jake, playing multiple roles like he has throughout his Alabama career. He could play Husky. He could play free safety. He could play Rover. Where does Tony Mitchell fit into all this? We know how much the previous staff loved Tony Mitchell. Keon Sab, I imagine he's going to fill in that spot at Rover. That seems to be where he would fit best in this new defense. Devontae Smith, to me, feels like the best option at free safety, but there's just a lot of questions there from guys that we haven't seen. Outside of Malachi Moore and Keon Sab, I'm not 100% certain that any of those other guys start. So there's just a lot of question marks in the back end, just like there at the offensive tackle spot. So I'm looking at those two position groups most this spring to see what that depth looks like, who the coach is like, and who's getting those first team reps, especially when A-Day rolls around. That's going to be really, really interesting to see. And you brought up the quarterbacks, Jake. And so you kind of feel like, I'm just going to ask you this. Do you feel like it would be better or is it important, I guess is the best way to phrase it, for a quarterback to move away from the competition and kind of take control here in the spring and not really have that competition this fall?
I think it's a little bit important, because if you're still tensed up and looking behind you, behind your back in the fall camp, you tend to probably make mistakes. So if you can separate yourself from the pack per se in the spring and in A-Day, then they pretty much through the summer tell you, say, hey, this is your team. Then you got the confidence rolling into the fall camp that say, hey, I have no pressure behind me at this moment. I just got to go and play my game. I got to improve. And you can just set your sights forward instead of constantly looking behind your back a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great point. I hadn't really thought about it from that perspective yet. It's just so early in spring. But
right.
Just to put you on the spot here, do you think a quarterback will take the job this spring?
Man, I want somebody to do it, but there's all four guys are more than capable of starting on this team in this offense. So I think it's going to be a big challenge of somebody to step up. Jalen's got the experience, of course. Ty probably has the better accuracy. And I think Lonergan is a really good, accurate quarterback. And Austin Mack is just an athlete who's oozing with just big-time playmaker ability. So, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Unfortunately, I think it's going to go into fall camp.
Yeah, I would assume it's going to go into fall camp. Unless DeBoer, with DeBoer, I think all along last year, Coach Saban and Tommy Rees felt like it would probably be Milroe going into game one, even back last spring. But Saban was never going to tell you that. DeBoer may be different. They may get 2 weeks in and Milroe is the obvious guy, and they just say, hey, Milroe's our quarterback. So that's something to think about as well. It's a different staff. It's going to sound different post-practice. So, I'm just going to assume that it's still going to be a competition going into fall camp, because and I don't think that's a negative on any of the guys. I think it's a positive. I think all four of those guys are capable of leading Alabama where they want to go. I really believe that.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Stacey. This is maybe one of the deepest quarterback rooms, in the country, honestly.
Yeah, one more off the wall question for you, Jake. And sorry if I throw you off guard here, but in the spring here, what would you say as we enter spring football is the strength of this Alabama team?
I will say, I'm going to say it's probably the linebacker core, you know, group. Or we've got a lot of talent coming back. I mean, look at, you know, Jaleel Campbell's coming back, Deontay Lawson. That those two guys are probably going to be your leaders of the team this year. They're going to have that middle locked up, and then you have some good guys behind them that's just waiting their time, but they have nowhere to go right now because you got those two guys in their way. But look at, you know, Jefferson. I feel like just Jefferson and this top just swarming defense can have a big year when he's on the field. So, you know, so yeah, I know you had some.
You talking about the linebackers there, Jake, and you mentioned a couple inside linebackers. Did you notice in one of the pictures released that Jeremiah Alexander was playing inside linebacker, that off-ball linebacker position?
Yeah, I did.
So it'll be interesting to see what the staff does with him, because that's an uber talented player as well.
Absolutely. But I feel like the linebacking core is probably one of our strengths. Now, you talked about the secondary. The secondary, all those guys are really talented. It's just don't have a lot of experience at this moment.
Right.
Now, coming in the year, my gosh, if they gel together, God, that's going to be a very, very deep and talented secondary group.
Yeah, I agree with that. I asked you that question because when I was thinking about this, I guess yesterday when you know, I was all geeked up because spring football was back, I was thinking about, you know, what is different about this Alabama team heading into this season than maybe some of the previous few seasons. And Jake, what really stood out to me when I look at the roster and I look at the guys that are back from last season, I just think about the leadership on this team.
Yeah.
And I think about the amount of veteran players that this team has. And look, I know they lost a ton of talent, both to the portal and to the NFL. But Jake, when you think about the leadership that is back on this team, Milrow, Booker, Jaden Roberts is a leader, Malachi Moore, Deontay Lawson, Jihad Campbell, Tim Smith. There is a ton of leadership on this team, Jake.
Right.
And there's a lot of juniors and seniors on this team that are in-state guys that you know that they have heard all the talk this offseason about how now that Nick Saban's gone, Alabama is no longer. And I think that's going to mean a little something extra to these guys on this team. I think this 2024 team, with the amount of leadership they have coming back and that edge that they're going to be able to play with, because there is more doubt surrounding this team than they've had since, you know, most of these kids were even alive, if you think about it. I just think they could be a special group, Jake, because the leadership on this team is unmatched. It is unmatched. Tyler Booker, Jalen Milroe. I mean, you even think about Justice Haynes. He's already a leader on the team as well, even though he's a young player. Malachi Moore, you're talking about elite level leadership on this team. And when a team is player led, like I think this team is going to be, you have a better chance of being successful. So I just like the leadership and the makeup and the maturity of this team. And yeah, I think that could be the strength, especially here in the spring, as you're building a team and becoming a team. I think that's really something to watch this spring.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. And you got some future leaders coming up that's going to be on the team, like Ryan Williams per se, you know, in a few years. So you've got a lot of veteran players, like you said, and key positions and key roles. And you miss in a lot of the untapped talent, but very, very talented players. And this team could be special. I think the over-under was like 9.5 wins. I'm smashing the over. I mean, I think Alabama, if everything goes right, they can absolutely no doubt win every single one of their games this year. It's going to be tough. They got a tough, you know, especially on the road. I mean, they got some very tough road games. But with, like you said, with the team being, led by the leadership and being very, very mature, this team can definitely be special and can definitely win a national championship.
Yeah, for sure. I really like the makeup of this team, and it's going to be interesting to see how Coach DeBoer can kind of mold these guys this spring and see what kind of team he can put together, because the talent is certainly there, and I believe in the coaching staff as well. Jake, I'm going to throw you off one more time. I know this is not in the show notes. I got one more rapid-fire question for you.
All right.
Newcomer you're looking forward to watching the most this spring?
I mean, I guess the safest would be Ron Williams, but
well, he's not there this spring. He won't be there.
He's not there this spring. Yeah. Who, let's see.
There's most of the other signees. Yeah. Most of the other signees are they're on campus already, but
yeah, Mbakwe is one. I'm very excited because I feel like he's a guy, he's very raw, but he could potentially be playing for a spot, you know, at the end of the year. On the team, you know, as a starter. So I'm going to keep my eye on him this spring.
Yeah, I like that pick. Keon Sabb is the one I'm most excited about because I think he's going to have the largest impact,
right?
Especially here in the spring. But another guy is LT Overton, the Texas A&M transfer, Jake. I'm anxious to see what his role is on this defense. He's 6'5", 265. You know, they play that kind of weird front. I know it's a 4-2-5, but he could kind of play that edge position. He could play as an interior defensive lineman, so I'm really excited to see how the coaching staff uses LT Overton, because I think he could be a really good player for Alabama, and I think his ability to be versatile is going to fit his playing style better than what he was trying to do at Texas A&M.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to see him and all these other guys as well, man. Like you said, Keon Sabb. You know, getting a guy like Sabb on the team who has, you know, championship experience for winning the championship this past year is huge, especially with that young secondary.
Dude, and he had a great game, and he had six tackles and a couple pass breakups. I mean, he played. He was a big piece of the defensive puzzle for Michigan in that championship game. So this is no slouch. Look, I mean, you don't want to lose Caleb Downs, but being able to have Keon Sabb as your fallback option is huge. Yeah,
it is, and I love that picture of him and now the tight end that we've got from Washington. You know, he was making the tackle on him, but now they're both playing together.
It's crazy.
It is so crazy. I love seeing that picture. But
welcome to college football 2024.
It's crazy, man. I mean, it's just insane. You know.
Yeah. All right, guys. Hey, that's going to wrap up this edition of the show. We just wanted to get a show out to kind of get everybody amped and excited for spring football. We're going to be here throughout the entire spring to break down anything and everything for what's going on in practice in Tuscaloosa. So excited about that. But please jump in the comments and give us your thoughts on today's show. Give us your answers on, you know, the questions you want answered most. Give us your strengths of the team, the weaknesses of the team, anything like that. Jump in the comments and let us know your thoughts there. Make sure you do like, share, and subscribe. Also, find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, part of the Believe Network. Excited about that as well. But that's going to wrap it up, Jake. Been a lot of fun. Can't wait to be back in a couple days. But until then, guys, roll tide.